This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Julian, Lynn and Sharice here with you on The Morning Run. And we have a Twitter poll going on. The question is, are you worried about the Malaysian economy? And so far, almost 260 of you have voted, with three quarters being worried about the Malaysian economy, with 13% saying no, 4% I don't care, and 7% I don't understand it. And I feel you for that 7%. Sometimes I don't actually understand the Malaysian economy as well. So be sure to check out the poll. Let us know what you think, and we'll announce the results at 9 a.m. So MIER yesterday suggested to the government that the civil servants, the subsidies should be transformed to civil servants' pay. And we've gotten a lot of response from that. But MIER is saying that this would boost domestic consumption, which is good for the economy.
Yes, they've also said that wage increases will give people an incentive to work harder. And if things improve in the public sector, then the private sector will have to improve too. So if the government needs to get its house in order, basically, before it can ask the private sector to follow suit.
And so we contacted Dr. Zulkifli Omar, Senior Research Fellow at the MIER, to clarify on the statements. And we asked him whether the suggestion to divert salaries into subsidies, what was that based on?
First of all, the subsidies itself is income transfers to redistribute income, for income redistribution, because, on the expectation that the economy is not able to redistribute income efficiently. That is the purpose of subsidy. But from economic point of view, subsidies is always the second best policy. It's not the best policy for income redistribution because it is counterproductive. It is doesn't encourage productivity because people getting money without doing nothing. let's say we transfer the subsidy to income, actually it's still the same. I mean, this is given that you are giving income to people without doing nothing, but it has different purpose. So that's why I say it's coming from different angles. First of all, all these things, it boils down to cost of living issues. Okay, because why cost of living issues are very significant in Malaysia? Because of income, people's income are not increasing high enough. So the incomes are too low.
Now, subsidies typically target a very particular group of people, like the B40. We asked Dr. Zulkifli how the government would ensure that moving away from subsidies towards salaries target target to the right group of people without hurting others.
One policy cannot fit all. You know, this has to be intersection between the people who receive subsidy and B40. For those who, let's say, in B40, they don't receive subsidies, they have different issues. We're talking about those people with receiving subsidy, at the same time they are in the B40, then they receive it. Because the intention is not to take out totally from subsidy, but there's just one of the mechanisms, maybe redistribute subsidy to income. So it has a merit by doing this, because the intention is we try to encourage to hopefully this will drive up the wages, because our wages are too low. It's like our income level share is low because wages are too low. So by doing this is like the driving force. Hopefully we have a cascading effect, or the salaries, the wages will increase for those beyond B40 as well. So that the main intention to encourage employers to pay higher wages is one of the mechanisms.
And what about the impact on businesses? So Dr. Zulkifli explained why businesses might follow the government's example.
Of course, in the short run, of course, nobody likes it. When private sector, of course, if they have to pay higher wages, if they have to choice not to pay, they don't want to pay. But they will lose up eventually, because in the long run, people are moving around. If you don't pay good wage, good salaries, people will move moving to other part of the world, you know, with the brain drain. So we will lose all the first class brain. It's a terrible thing to waste brain. So but we only capture the, you know, the second best brain. Then if the employers have to pay, you know, lower salary, but they only get second best workers, eventually they will lose out also. So might as well they pay higher a little bit, they get the best workers. You can see that effect, in front of our eyes, how the foreign labors, you know, change the landscape of the labor market in the economy, because foreign labors are willing to take lower pay job and lower pay salary. For them it's high enough, but for us it's too low. But what will happen? We push down our wages, you know, downward pressure, because the wages will not increase, because the workers have a choice to pay for the lower salary.
And that was Dr. Zulkifli Omar, Senior Research Fellow from the MIER, which suggested that the government turn subsidies into civil servants' pay. And I think that's a good idea, because I feel that the household is a good asset allocator of their own funds.
Now, Dr. Zulkifli did highlight, though, that the intention is not to take out subsidies completely. It's just one of the mechanisms that the MIER is recommending in order to redistribute income.
Yeah, I think that the need to boost the economy is also a pressing issue at this point in time, what with all the issues about foreign investors pulling their money out. And with that, we have Kenny Yee, Head of Research at Rakuten Trade, talking with us about the ringgit. And actually, we asked him whether he is optimistic about the outcome of the China trade negotiations.
I think the biggest winners, obviously, would be the, like you say, the exporters. I think the rubber gloves manufacturers, I think they would be the main beneficiaries. Okay, and some of the furniture producers as well, okay. Companies with overseas operations, I think that would also benefit, you know, when they claw back their profits overseas.
Now, we also asked Kenny which locally listed firms might stand to lose out if foreign investors start reducing their exposure to Malaysia.
I think that's what we are seeing now. You can see that, you know, the market has been pretty weak the past. Well, especially today, you know, I think over the past week or so, we've been seeing the foreign funds liquidating their holdings, especially on the banks. The banking sector, I think, has been sold down quite badly over the past week.
And we also asked which company has the highest foreign debt and are vulnerable if the ringgit weakens significantly against the greenback.
I think most of the companies are okay. I think, if I'm mistaken, maybe AirAsia. Yeah, maybe AirAsia. Because I think the rest, like Tanaga, I think used to have a high exposure in foreign debt. But I think they have converted into local denominated loans. Okay. I think AirAsia springs to mind. I think for the rest, the exposure is not that great, because with the volatility of the ringgit.
It was Kenny Yee, Head of Research of Rakuten Trade, talking to us about the outflow of funds from Malaysia. Are you guys just taking a quick poll from you guys, exit poll from you guys, right? What are you voting on our Twitter poll? Are you worried about the Malaysian economy?
I think we're going to go with, I don't know.
Okay, that's not a bad one.
I think I voted yes. But then at the same time, you know, I don't know whether it's the bias that comes from reading the media generally, because the media only ever reports on terrible things in general. Just a quick note that Kenny Yee mentioned the volatility of the ringgit. The ringgit right now is at 4.14 against the US dollar, compared to, I think, 4.05 just a month ago.
Okay, tell us what you think on the poll at BFM Radio. Are you worried about the Malaysian economy? BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.